Okay, picture this. It's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can waste another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can conquer it. I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. Any road. The steeper, the better. Because my all-new Santa Fe is available with H-Track all-wheel drive, so I can hit the trail without a worry in the world. Heck, with three rows and best-in-class rear cargo space, I can pack the whole family in with all our gear. We've got available dual wireless charging for our phones, so we'll never lose touch with civilization, and we won't lose touch with the primordial power of Mother Earth. So which is it? Waste the weekend or do something a little more epic? And conquer it in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai. There's joy in every journey.
Presented by T-Mobile, the official wireless partner of Odyssey Sports. With an awesome network and great savings, there's never been a better time to join T-Mobile. Visit your neighborhood store to make the switch today.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima.
We welcome Jay Crawford on the North Olmsted Chrysler Jeep Dodge Ram Hotline. Jay, welcome to the show. And it appears you were able to save baseball at Bowling Green. Congratulations.
I played a minuscule role in that. Thank you. And you really should set your bar higher. I mean, if you want to set a goal, make it a lofty one.
So my goal was not even really to be on ESPN. It was to appear in a SportsCenter commercial. And you did that. And I saw that over the weekend that they showed. They had a whole special on the commercials. And you had one, I believe, where you were crammed into one of the elevators in Bristol with a mascot. Tell us more.
I'm trying to think about that particular one. I think it was with Steve Levy.
Yes.
And if I'm not mistaken, it was the Broncos and the Seahawks Super Bowl, I think. And I think the awkward moment of the commercial was the two mascots got into the elevator with us at the same time.
Wait a minute.
How quick of a shoot was that? That take all day?
Yeah. How long? Yeah. How? I have several questions. How long was this?
My memory of that one was it was probably a half a day shoot. Most of them were all day, if not two, which I never fully understood. I could shoot one on my phone in 45 minutes, but obviously, when you're doing a film shoot campaign and high money, you need like 50 people, you need craft services, and you need a full day to make it worth their payment. So it was probably at least 4 hours, but that one may have been a full day. I can't remember.
My God, that's way too long to be spending on a 30-second commercial, for crying out loud. That's why I do radio.
Like if maybe you have one line or one word, or it's just like a facial reaction or an expression or something. I can't remember that one, but typically there was very little copy in them. And, and they would ask you to do whatever it was they needed you to do about 75 different times.
So it was basically this. You anchor SportsCenter, you anchor your TV shows, and then they want you on your day off or another day, or was it an assigned day of work where, okay, today we're going to work on a commercial so you don't have to do any of the news?
Yeah, no, they gave you that day off. If it was a multiple-day shoot, then you were scheduled for more than one day off. But, yeah, it was pretty bizarre. And then there was a whole nother series of ads that they used to do. When they started cross-promoting, particularly with their own entities, there was a stretch where we were constantly doing movie commercials for Disney movies that would only run on ESPN. So they were demographic specific, and they would have us promoting a movie for the commercial that would obviously only run on ESPN or other sports related platforms. And those were nice because we were paid separately for those, because it was for another one of Disney's arms that wasn't ESPN. So those were even better because you got off for the day, and then you got ridiculous overpayment for what they were asking you to do. It was pretty crazy.
Nice. Okay, well, at least that's nice. Jay Crawford joining us on the show, WKYC right here in Cleveland. Okay, Francisco Lindor, they can't trade him at all. Like, I know there's a trade deadline coming up on August 31st with this 60-game schedule. Unless they're just completely in the gutter, you can't move on from this guy, right? Not this year.
No, not this year. Particularly, I mean, are you ever in the gutter in a 60-game season? I mean, I know it's going to get late really early, but the way I understand it, they're still going to go with the 10-team playoff format. Their schedule should set up to be pretty favorable, right? I mean, you know, I know the White Sox are better. The Royals have a pretty tough lineup at times. I look at it and I'm like, where do the outs come from? But I would anticipate they would be a playoff team. I just don't see how you could possibly move Lindor in this mess. So I think we have him for the 60-game duration, and beyond that, it's anybody's guess.
Jay, overall, just your excitement level on what is going to be a bizarre season. 60 games, a race to the finish with a universal DH, some interesting rules in extra innings, and oh, by the way, no fans in the stands. What will this season mean to you?
You know, I'm a seam head. Baseball's my favorite sport, and I'll follow it and watch it as closely as I ever have. But wouldn't it just be the most Cleveland thing ever if the Indians were to win a World Series during this mess? Like, yeah, it's a World Series, and sure, we're going to celebrate, but it's 2020, for crying out loud. So, not to say I'm going to root against them, but I can't say I would celebrate this one as hard as I would the one that was, you know, fought over a 162-game season. All that being said, you know, everybody's on the same playing field. And whoever the best team is in November or whenever they wrap this thing up, that's the World Series champion. So I'll follow it. I'll certainly celebrate it if it happens, but it just would be one of the most Cleveland things ever to win it in 2020.
It's not even a thought that I have that it's a coincidence. I actually feel more confident than I ever have that the Indians are going to win the World Series this year now because of all those feelings, Jay. I can't be the only one. I cannot be the only one.
No, you're not.
Jay Crawford joining us on the North Homestead Chrysler Jeep Dodge Ram Hotline. In terms of there not being fans and looking into the future, the Browns are going to get the opportunity, according to Daniel Kaplan, the Browns are going to get the opportunity to call their own way of doing things over at First Energy Stadium with fans. Now, I'm sure that the governor will have something to say and the health department will have something to say about that with both us and the Cincinnati Bengals. Technically, they are in Ohio. What do you think could end up happening this fall with football coming back? And could there be 20,000 people in the seats? Could there be 15 or 30,000? Or is it still a little too early to tell right now?
Yeah, Ken, I think it's a little too early to tell just because the playing field has shifted so much during this, you know, once-in-a-lifetime thing. We don't know what's coming next. We don't know what things are going to look like in September. You know, again, I know that the months seem to fly by, but we're still in June. So, you know, we have all of July and all of August, and I don't know what the spikes are going to look like. Look, when the NBA geniuses sat down to create their master plan, they said, hey, how about Orlando? It's been pretty much corona-free. And then, bam, it's the hot spot along with Phoenix in the U.S. now. So it's really impossible to predict. So I'm telling myself you could have everything from empty stadiums in some venues to perhaps 50% capacity, maybe 30% capacity. The one thing I can't envision at all is jam-packed stadiums because, I mean, that defies the very definition of social distancing. And you don't want to create these super-spreading events where you could see a spike of the proportions we saw in Italy and Spain when they had those so-called super-spreader soccer match where the infection rates in the host city as well as the visiting city just went bananas after a particular soccer match. So I don't know. Anything from empty to 30% full, Ken, is my vision.
Pretty wide. Go ahead, Anthony.
Jay Crawford, WKYC-TV, joining us on the hotline. So let's talk about the Browns. And I know it's been tough for a brand-new head coach. They don't have, I think in terms of returning players, they were bottom five in the NFL, even though it seems like there's some continuity there on offense. The work is cut out for Kevin Stefanski. Do you think he's up for the task? Do you think Baker Mayfield in year three up to the task?
You know, I'm kind of out of the prediction on head coaches business. And I almost think we all should be, just because we all were swept up by the euphoria that was Freddie Kitchens. And I know that there were varying degrees of it, but let's face it. The word Super Bowl was mentioned quite a bit last August, and, you know, we quickly got into game action and we realized that even though he talked a pretty good game and seemed to say and do all the right things, his in-game decision-making and his week-to-week game planning was abysmal. And we quickly realized that all of our, you know, preseason enthusiasm was misplaced. So all of that being said, my thumbnail so far of Stefanski is fairly similar, other than he seemed to be kind of whimsical and rah-rah, where Stefanski seems to be understated and measured. I would prefer that in my head coach. I mean, to give an old school comparison, give me Tom Landry over, Jerry Glanville any day. And those would kind of be the comparisons, just in terms of demeanor. So I like everything that I've seen and heard out of Stefanski so far in a different way than I liked it last year from Freddie. But, man, to your point, the turnover on defense is frightening. Some of the positions defensively that we thought we had figured out, we clearly did not. So as long as we don't give up 35 points a game next year, I think our offense should keep us in most games. So, you know, I'm always optimistic. I'm a Browns fan, so I'm going to be anxiously anticipating that season opener as much as anyone.
Should I, though, be, because of the weird offseason, Jay, should I be advocating for a season to maybe move back a month to help out the Browns?
Hey, listen, if you could do that Kevin Stefanski would put you on payroll. Ooh. Because obviously the teams that will be most hurt by this bizarre season and particularly the machinations moving up to it, it's the team that has, A lot of turnover, and B, a new coach. So, you know, all of Stefanski's systems will be more difficult to implement because there is no, you know, mini camp and rookie camps and all of that. So I'm sure that they're doing things behind the scenes to get everybody implemented as fast as they can. But the Browns are at a severe disadvantage when it comes to that. So, yeah, Kenny, if you can get us to move back the first week of the season to early October, I would love you for that. That would be a great thing for our club.
For whatever helps, I'll do it. Go ahead, Tone. I'll do it.
Jay Crawford, by the way, hosting What's New at 5 p.m. daily with the extraordinary Betsy Kling. Big fan of her work as well. But since we have you on the phone, Jay, I'll ask you this. There is a list that came out over the last 24 hours of players in the NFL on each team that have to perform this year, kind of make it, break it years. Two players for the Browns were on that list, Baker Mayfield and Odell Beckham Jr. How big of a year is it for Odell?
Yeah, I hadn't seen that list, but those would be my two guys. I would also throw Myles Garrett on there as well, but I fear less that Myles Garrett will be the impact player than I do the first two that you mentioned. Look, it's very simple for Baker Mayfield. The Browns have eliminated all of the excuses. They have massively upgraded the offensive line. They have given him one of the game's best tight ends to go along with a tight end that we already felt could be spectacular and shows flashes of it at times. He's got an all-world receiving core and an all-world running back. Other than that, Mrs. Lincoln, how did you enjoy the play? He's got it all. So you can't if things don't go well in the most important year for any quarterback on his rookie deal, which is year number three, then you start thinking about moving on. All that said, I don't think we're going to be having that conversation because I believe that Baker is going to have the kind of year. It's the year he has next year, this coming season, I believe will far greater resemble his rookie season than his sophomore slump season. As for Odell Beckham, he's probably the elixir to all of that. We're said he's healthy. We're told he's in shape and he's doing all the right things. So if he looks like the old Odell Beckham, that's a big if, based on what we had from him last year, but again, he was injured. But if he comes back and performs at that Pro Bowl caliber level, then I don't see how Baker could have a bad year. So I do think that the linchpin to all of this is Odell, but all eyes will be on Baker. He's going to be the one judged by the results of this season more than any other player on the team.
60 seconds. Could he very well get a mulligan by this organization, though, because of everything? Like, say he goes out there and he's less than average. Like, he's not as bad as he was last year, and people argue he wasn't even that bad last year, but he's not as bad as he was last year, but he's not that great. You're getting ready for another draft. Some fans will be ready to move on. Would an organization toy with that notion, considering what's going on right now?
Kenny, I think that if the jury is out, then that puts us back in quarterback purgatory, and that's not a good place to live. So I think it has to be a definitive step forward for Baker. If the jury's out and we're wishy-washy, you know, I guess because of the circumstances, maybe he gets the benefit of the doubt for the fourth year. But honestly, it really, in my view, we need to put this question to bed that Baker's our guy. And that's where we have to be.
Jay, can't thank you enough, buddy. All the very best to you and yours. Hopefully we'll talk to you again soon.
All right. Always good to join you guys. Take care. Be safe.
You too. The great Jay Crawford, WKYC, host of What's New at 5 o'clock with Betsy Kling.
Now, Kenny, I know he does a great job over there at WKYC.
And he's also on the North Homestead Chrysler Jeep Dodge Ram hotline. Yes.
I listen, Jay did not want to mention Super Bowl. I can tell you, this show, we did not get in the prediction business. We never, ever mentioned those words, right?
Super Bowl!
Oh, come on!
Super!
Of course he's got it.
Yeah!
I thought they didn't go to the Super Bowl. That is not our fault.
I guess we mentioned it once.
It's in the whole thing started
Super
in jest.
Super Round!
Hell yeah!
That is the one thing that Twitterers wanted in the bad take tournament this year was the
Super Round!
Never said it.
Yeah!
That's a clever edit.
Oh my God in heaven!
Clever edit.
Remember, it started in jest. That was the whole point of Super Bowl Super Browns. It started during 0-16. Lord. Stop. We're having to deflect a lot of blame today, Anthony. Have you noticed? Coming
just
up
keeps
next,
happening.
We will get back to the football coming up at 9 o'clock. I promise you that. Up next is a bidet, a good birthday present. It's Ken Carmen with Anthony Lyme, Alive in the Fan.
You could spend the weekend doing the same old whatever, or you could conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.